Ladies and gentlemen, hello, hi there, and welcome to the Fightful Select 205 Live NXT Recap Show. For some reason, I feel like I've been caught off guard, as if this started without me really knowing what's going on. But no, everything's, I have everything under control. Don't tell Sean. How's everybody doing? Thank you for joining me this evening, your weekly recap wrap-up of everything NXT and 205 Live, the best programming block WWE has to offer right now. I'm excited to get back to offering you guys NXT UK within this package here. But as long as WWE keeps doing back-to-back episodes, airing two episodes a week of NXT UK, I am going to keep giving you guys its own recap show. So I'm not going to be talking about NXT UK again this week. However, this Saturday, I will be at home, comfy, in a fresh state of mind. And I will be doing an exclusive NXT UK recap show right then and there on Saturday. So that'll be good. And hopefully, you know, I'll be able to do this again with the other Wednesday night programming. But otherwise, you know, that it's 4 hours of programming that I'd have to cram into 1 hour. That's not how you do proper recaps. It wouldn't be fun for me. Wouldn't be fun for you folks either. You good elite members of Fightful Select. We look after you guys. We make sure that all you get is quality content. Quality wrestling content. I don't know if you guys are watching this live right now, but if you are watching it live, we have Tim and John in the chat. Sup, you guys? And if you're watching it in the future at another occasion on your leisure, well, if you can make it on a Wednesday night, you come join the chat. It's a lot of fun. We get to interact and stuff. I'm looking down here because I just realized I have... There was a connection missing here, which could have spelled trouble for the rest of the program. But no, everything is fine. Everything is under control as of right now. So thank you. Thank you guys for Tim and John for being here and for you guys to be watching and Fightful Select, man. All sorts of great stuff. Sean has been putting up crazy amounts of content. Steven Jensen is taking over the Weekender this week. It's going to be exciting. A fresh new face, new voice. Anyway, a new voice. From what I heard, he's doing it in audio style. We'll see. We got a whole bunch of new things coming up. Fightful Select hasn't been any... It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to be a FightfulSelect.com member, subscriber. All right. Let's talk about these shows then. Let's talk about 205 Live to begin with. The Cruiserweights. We begin the evening with our first match being Mike Kanellis versus Noam Dar. And of course, Maria Kanellis is out with good old Mike, and she joins the commentary table here. And the guys lock up in the ring, lots of back and forth until Dar kicks Kanellis. They roll to the outside. Dar rams Kanellis face first on the commentary table. Maria distracts Noam Dar, and Mike Kanellis takes umbrage to Dar, maybe acting a little menacing towards his wife. Maybe Kanellis is thinking, you know, this guy, he might snap. So he jumps him, he being Kanellis. He jumps Dar, grounds and pounds him on the floor a little bit, hits a suplex on Dar right on the floor, rolls him back in the ring, covers, but gets only two. Dar dodges a crossbody block. He drop kicks Kanellis, double chops, forearm, and European uppercut combo by Dar. He goes for a suplex, but Kanellis blocks it. Dar runs the ropes, and Kanellis grabs him and hits a big spine buster. And on cue, Lucha House Party music hits, and out come from the top of the ramp, Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado with Penelope. Commentary's getting a little too excited about the pinata thing, right? It's a pinata. There's nothing to get. You know, I understood. Like, let's say it was a live llama that they had, or donkey, whatever the pinata is supposed to be. Let's say they bring a live animal to the ring. Then you have something to get excited about. You know, like when the British Bulldogs had Matilda, right? You remember back then? Vince McMahon would get really, really excited. You know, it's like, ha, ha, ha. You know, he'd do one of these. Ha, ha, ha. It's Matilda. Ha, ha, ha. And he'd get really, really pumped up. You don't. Who gets excited at the sight of a pinata? I'm telling WWE splurge. Give the Lucha House Party a little money and let them bring an actual breathing llama or an apalka, or a donkey, a burro. All right, I'll stop. And yes, Damien as well. And Frankie, John, you're absolutely right. Coco Beware and Frankie. Who didn't dig Frankie? I refuse to get excited over a pinata, and commentary sounds stupid when they do it. And this is something that started on Raw when Lucha House Party started popping up on Raw. They started getting excited because of the pinata. And here's something, though. I think I'm talking too much about the pinata, but here's something. You know, my daughter, Lil Hayes, when she saw Lucha House Party come out on Raw, I think it was this week, she saw the pinata and she says, Hey, that looks like the Fortnite llama. I don't play Fortnite, so I'm not aware of the Fortnite memes, but she says, that looks like the Fortnite llama. It's not the Fortnite llama. But then she goes on the internet and she shows me a picture of the Fortnite llama, and it's the same color scheme. It looks exactly like the Fortnite llama. So I'm thinking that there's probably someone in creative that's like, well, pal, the pinata, it kind of looks like that Fortnite game all the kids are playing, so let's put a little extra emphasis on it. You want to bet it's something stupid like that? It's probably something like that. All right, where was I? That's the show, everyone! Good night. So Lucha House Party comes out, and there's only Lindsay and Gran Metalik up top. So I wonder where Kalisto could be. Well, Kalisto is sneaking around on his stomach like a snake, like a reptile. And he basically this distraction causes Mike Kanellis to look over at his wife. He's very concerned about the security of his wife, Maria, because he's left completely his attention in the ring. Two guys at the top of the ramp, and he turns around to make sure that Maria is okay. That's love when you think about it. True passion, true connection. Anyway, he bends over to make sure Maria is okay, and sneaky Kalisto steps up and kicks him but it kind of misses its mark. I think he was supposed to hit him in the face, but it kind of hits him on the upper arm. Kalisto didn't have not a good look for Kalisto this week. His match on Raw, the match on Raw that they had against the Revival was short. Mercifully for Lucha House Party, because they didn't look good. He was very, very sloppy on Raw. And now this kick strike that he's doing, that he did, I should say. Anyway, the kick, the ref was distracted, obviously didn't see the interference. And that allows Noam Dar to hit the Nova Roller for the win. And then Noam Dar goes up the ramp to celebrate with Lucha House Party for some reason. And then I noticed that the noisemakers are bigger now. They're like the actual length of an arm. Why? You guys know, you know, you've watched my show before, or if not, you're about to learn that I hate the, I absolutely hate the noisemakers. I think it's a heel thing to have stuff around the ring that makes too much noise, repetitive, annoying noise. I think it's ridiculous because they use them a lot. And you know what? Come to think of it, Lucha House Party have been acting like a bunch of heels recently. You know, going down to a ring on Raw against the Revival, then all of a sudden, you know, the Revival are think that they're going to have a classic two-on-two match, but no, they hit the ring and it's Lucha House rules, which becomes a three-on-two. Or just Lucha rules, not Lucha House. It's just Lucha rules. Three-on-two. How's that not a heel thing? Then they have the noisemakers, and then Kalisto slithers his way to interfere in Mike Kanellis' match. There's a lot of heel shenanigans going on with Lucha House Party. Anyway, this was an okay match. Nothing to write home about, but I'm okay with it because it's forwarding a story. It's forwarding the story of Kanellis and eventually TJP with the Lucha House Party, and I'm completely fine with it. We'll get a nice competitive match out of Mike Kanellis soon, I am quite sure. Next, we see backstage Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick, who are training. Kendrick is putting very little effort in his punches, in his strikes. Then Tozawa eggs him on. He motivates him, and then he starts punching really, really hard. And Tozawa has to go, "Oi, ha, this hurts." So that's essentially what happened in this segment. And then we get Drew Gulak, who's at his podium, back at his podium. I like that they haven't completely abandoned, you know, the silly politician shtick, you know, that they've gotten rid of most of the silliness, but they just bring it back at really perfect moments. And he has Jack Gallagher standing by his side. Drew Gulak says, "There was a time, Brian, that we, Brian, the Brian Kendrick, that we considered you an ally, a friend, an ally, but now you're a," and Jack Gallagher calls him a cumberground. A cumberground, folks. This is how it's spelt. Sorry, NXT, we still love you. A cumberground, ladies and gentlemen, this is how you spell it. It's C-U- M-B-E-R-G-R-O-U-N-D. Cumberground. And the definition of a cumberground is any totally worthless object or person, something that is just in the way. Just like something that's just in the way. That's what Jack Gallagher called him. Very, very nice. I appreciate high levels of vocabulary in my pro wrestling. I really do. So that made me giggle. And they call Brian Kendrick a homeless Leonardo DiCaprio, which I thought was really, really funny. And Gulak basically says he's going to put Kendrick out of his misery because next week they have a match. That's good. I'm good with that. Next match on this card is Hideo Itami. It's a showcase of his numerous abilities against Levy Cruz. Itami doesn't waste any time. Bell rings, big kick to the face, some knees to the abdomen, kick to the back. He drapes Levy over the top rope and drops a top rope knee right across his back. He hits a really big back fist. He being Itami on Cruz, diving dropkick to the corner. It's a squash match. What are you going to do? What do you want from me? It's the end. It's a showcase match. Good job, Hideo Itami. But then music hits, familiar music, music we haven't heard in a while. And Arya Daivari comes to the ring. He's back. He's been out nursing injuries. He enters the ring and he looks like he's about to confront Itami, but no, he starts beating up the jabroni, lifts him up, tells Itami to kick him down. Itami obliges. And he tells Hideo Itami, I respect you. Pulls out his hand. They shake. More pairings, guys. More pairings. I've noticed this trend. A lot of duos happening in 205 Live. Everybody's got a buddy. I really, really think that we are on the cusp of these tag team titles. We're just about there. You can feel it. It's tangible. There's only Leo Rush right now who's alone on 205 Live. Who could be he be paired with? Who's left? Who's left that doesn't have a pal? I'm trying to run through the roster in my brain. I'm drawing a blank. I don't see who Leo Rush could be paired up with. But anyway, that's very interesting. No, John, he's not going to be paired with Lashley on 205 Live. No, nah, it's not going to be Bobby Lashley. Not unless Lashley drops a lot of weight. Anyway, that being said, really happy to see Arya Daivari back. That makes me really, really happy. He's a solid hand. Was a bad injury he came back from. Good for him. Glad he's back. TJP, we have a bit of a segment backstage where TJP is talking with Drake Maverick. He's asking to become the number one contender on the basis alone that he was the first Cruiserweight Championship and that he's beaten everyone in Lucha House Party. And TJP is talking about the urine. And here I thought 205 Live was a safe zone from talking about Drake Maverick's peeing exploits. And Mike Kanellis comes in. He's looking for TJP. Says, we got to settle this with the Lucha House Party. TJP is very reticent. He's saying, no. I'm here to move on to greater things. Maria Kanellis is like, whoa, hang on there, son. We had an agreement, pal. You're going to honor this agreement. TJP's like, all right. And I like this dynamic that Kanellis and TJP aren't friends. They're not pals. They're just like, they're just a convenient alliance. You know, and TJP's ready to drop these guys on a dime. Just get so long, suckers. Give me one opportunity. Boom, I'm out of here. Now, like, it's an interesting little dynamic. But all this segment leads us into TJP and Mike Kanellis fighting Lucha House Party next week in a tornado tag team match. I'm here for that. I am here for that. I would actually like, this is my boy Alex Pawlowski over on Fightful.com, who does the recap shows. Perhaps you've heard of him as a Fightful Select member. Alex has been a big proponent of the Cruiserweight tag team titles, these legendary, fabled, mythical Cruiserweight tag team titles should be defended exclusively using tornado tag rules. I think that would be really interesting and would add a really nice color to the division, something you don't see on Raw, help distinguish it, make it feel even more special. Alex has good ideas sometimes. Next is our main event, Cedric Alexander versus Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali versus Buddy Murphy, your Cruiserweight champion, and Tony Nese. I'll say it once, I'll say it again. Tony Nese, low-key, becoming one of the best wrestlers, best workers in all of WWE. They gave this guy an inch, he's taken a kilometer. That's how you confuse people. By using different measurement systems. You go from the imperial system to the metric system in the blink of an eye, and everyone's like, what? What, an inch into a kilometer? Wait, how many inches is that, George? Just confuses everyone. But Tony Nese has taken every opportunity in this push that he's getting. He's been fantastic. I'm really glad that they're continuing down this path. And honestly, Nice and Murphy together, have you seen two? I'm trying to think of a more perfect matching pairing of two really huge cut guys, strong guys. When you put them side by side, they just elevate each other so perfectly. Why is my chair creaking so much? Anyway. So there we go. So this is our match. Let's go ahead. There's some back and forth to start between Cedric and Tony Nese. Alexander runs the ropes, gets Nese in a waist lock. There's a great sequence of evasions by both guys, which culminates with Cedric Alexander hitting a Hurricane Rana and a dropkick. And he covers Nese, but only gets two. Mustafa Ali is next, tags himself, not tags himself in, but tags in. Then they get some double team offense in. The faces do. Ali covers and again, only gets two. However, Nese powers out of Ali back in the corner and Murphy tags himself in. Ali with a chop on Buddy Murphy, who completely no sells. And I like this tiny little moment here because at their match at Survivor Series, the story they were telling is that Mustafa Ali isn't strong enough to go toe-to-toe, like purely on strength, on striking against Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy's the juggernaut. That was the story they were telling. So you get into this situation here where he chops Murphy, and Murphy literally just looks down at his chest and cracks a smirk, and you're like, well, this is fantastic. Continuity. Could you believe that? I dig it. Let's see here. All right, there we go. There, Mustafa Ali then, however, battles back with some of his quick offense. He hits a Hurricane Rana and immediately a drop kick. He tags Cedric Alexander back in, but Buddy Murphy chickens out and tags Nese in. Drop kick by Cedric Alexander. He heads to the apron, kicks Tony Nese to the face, gets him back into the ring, covers, only gets two. A blind tag leads to Buddy Murphy delivering a big jumping knee to Cedric Alexander's jaw. Covers him, only gets two. Now, Cedric Alexander is your baby face in peril here, folks. Tony Nese has him in a waist lock. The heels keep Alexander cut off from the middle of the ring. They hang on to him in their corner. Double back body drop by Cedric Alexander, who lands on his feet and tags Ali back in. He hits a top rope crossbody block on both heels. Ali slides through the ropes with a big face kick, followed by a face crusher. Goes for a top rope sunset flip and into a sit-out powerbomb. He covers and gets 2.9. Ali then goes to the top rope. He goes for a tornado DDT. It's blocked by Murphy. Murphy kicks Ali to the outside. Nese starts to slow things down, keeping Ali grounded, tags Murphy back in, keeping his foot on Ali's hair, which I thought was just really nasty. That's such a heel, a dick heel thing to do. Ali's your baby face in peril at this point. Ali, however, rolls Murphy up for a cover, but obviously Buddy Murphy kicks out of it, and he to repay him for rolling him up, murders him with a lariat. Nese goes to spear Ali in the corner, but Ali moves out of the way and Nese spears Murphy instead. Ali dodges Murphy coming back in, gets tossed out, and Murphy tosses. He's trying to get the hot tag over to Cedric. Cedric Alexander is there, hand extended. But Murphy got tossed out on the same side as Cedric Alexander, so he just grabs Alexander by the foot and tosses him off the apron. No hot tag for you, Mustafa. Alexander then runs after Murphy, and that was a big mistake. Commentary pointed it out. Big mistake. Why didn't he just jump back up onto the apron instead of going after Murphy? He could have tagged Ali then, and he would have gotten in, tagging his buddy. Instead, Nese runs in to mow Mustafa Ali down with an elbow. Murphy's back in with a combination of kicks, but Ali suddenly hits a spinning heel kick, and he finally gets the mild tag to Cedric Alexander here. He gets some strikes in on Nice. Nicely executed flatliner by Cedric Alexander again on Nice, covers and only gets two. Springboard something is interrupted by Tony Nice with a European uppercut, which was really, really nice. There's some shenanigans in the corner that leads to the heels being caught up in a corner. Ali and Alexander go try some stuff out, but Ali and Murphy fall out of the ring. You get a Topicon heel by Cedric Alexander to the outside. Big right knee to the jaw of Ali by Buddy Murphy. But Ali reverses the Murphy's Law into a roll-up, comes out of the roll-up. Second rope DDT by Mustafa, followed by a lumbar check by Cedric Alexander. And that's how you end a match. So there you go. The faces win. Buddy Murphy pinned in the ring your cruiserweight champion, and by Cedric Alexander. You know, there's the book, or at least the way Drake Maverick handles things on 205 Live, it's very much a meritocracy. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you rack up some wins, you'll get your title shot. That's fine. So does this mean that Cedric Alexander just positioned himself to become once again the number one contender to the Cruiserweight title? I'll be frank, guys. I hope not. I hope not. This was an okay episode of 205 Live. I think this was a sub match. Don't get me wrong. The main event was very, very solid. But I kind of was expecting something with more verve to it. At the same time, the crowd was absolutely dead. And it's weird how sometimes you get these really cool 205 Live crowds, and then you get these crowds which are really, really like, they're just flatlined. And that doesn't help either. It does take you out of the match anyway. So a lot of storytelling placed here in the first two-thirds of the show. Solid match between all four involved in the main event. I guess I was, they're all such top tier level athletes. I was expecting to have my mind blown, but I can't say I'm disappointed. NXT. We start straight off the bat. Oh, but it's much better than John says, but it's much better than Raw. You know what else is much better than Raw? Anything else? That's all I had. I'd led myself into something and John wants to know if this is Lars or Ciampa in the back, or is it only Lorcan? It's supposed to be Lars. All right. NXT folks, starting off with Danny Burch. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan versus the mighty I am a Burch and let me start over again. I am a Burch and Lorcan guy. I completely buy those two dudes as badass strikers. I'm into them. I like their style. They work super well together. Danny Burch had a fantastic match against Pete Dunne on NXT UK a couple of weeks ago. You should go check that out. Good dudes. Good, solid, solid workers. Explosive. That's how I define them. They're explosive. They're up against the Mighty tonight. Shane Thorne's arm is getting worked over by Burch and Lorcan. Lorcan and Burch for all your needs. You get them to get punch in the face. You want to get punched in the face. He already got good. Burch and Lorcan. Lorcan and Burch. Burch and Lorcan with a bunch of quick tags in and out, making sure Thorne is eating it. Eventually, Thorne uses Lorcan's ear to get out of the move with an uppercut as well. European uppercut. Tags Miller in. But Lorcan meets him with a drop kick, rolls Miller up, and goes right into a single leg crab. And Birch runs in to interrupt Thorne's run in. And he gets a crossface on him. We have double submissions. It's kind of part of their signature offense. I'm kind of a sucker for it. It works for me. I like it. Anyway, this whole sequence is broken up when Miller reaches the bottom rope. They have to, and Lorcan has to break up the hole. However, from this point on, the heels are back in control. Lorcan is your babyface in peril for most of the match here. Ability to back suplex by Miller on Lorcan. The heels work him over, wishboning Lorcan in the middle of the ring. Double running leg. They do a double Russian leg sweep. Double team offense by the Mighty. Mighty Miller with a diving kick. Thorne then follows right in with a sliding D. Covers, only gets two. Thorne gets Lorcan into a chin lock, who battles out and gets the hot tag to Birch. Now, Danny Birch knows how to make a hot tag work, folks. This was some explosive offense here. He gets some mighty strikes in. And yes, that's a pun. Birch is getting some mighty strikes in. Kicks, a missile drop kick. Birch honestly had a great hot tag here, but he usually does. Miller breaks up their finisher and takes Birch out to the outside. Thorne rallies with some European uppercuts. Lorcan has one of his own. He runs the ropes, but Thorne gets him with a running drop kick. And it was a cool, nice, fast little sequence here. However, Lorcan comes back with a half and half suplex and then follows up with a cross body dive to the outside on both guys of the Mighty. Oney Lorcan, Oney rules. I think he's right. I think the merch is right. Oney rules. Some top rope shenanigans follow that allow the heels to press Lorcan over their heads and drive him into Birch. They go to the well again. They try to do the same move again. However, this time, Birch spears. Birch spears Thorne, and Lorcan rolls Miller up for the win. Lorcan and Birch, Birch and Lorcan, Lorcan and Birch. They managed to defeat the Australians here, but after the match, the Mighty are having none of this, and they beat the shit out of Birch and Lorcan. This was a fun match. Probably my favorite of the evening. This was fun. Is it maybe it's because I'm a bit of a sucker for Lurch. Birch and Lorcan. But this was a fun-paced match. Built up wonderfully. Great finish. I really like the finish. I don't see why people aren't more behind Lorcan and Birch. They're a fantastic tag team. Next, we have we go back in time to a month ago when EC3 got a pin over Adam Cole and where Bobby Fish went bananas with a steel chair on EC3. Then we have Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai, and Io Shirai backstage earlier today, who had some comments, talked about the fact that Kairi's elbow, not elbow, this is the elbow, that's the shoulder, Warren, that's how anatomy works. Kairi's shoulder was still kind of up during that final pin at TakeOver War Games a couple of weeks ago. Kairi says, she does the baby face thing and she says the referee's call is final. Gosh darn it, what a baby face. And when asked, Dakota Kai says, you know, why did you come and help out? Well, I have history, I have beef still with Shayna Baszler, and I'm not gonna have any of her and her stooges running around doing stuff. Then Io Shirai says that I'm here to protect Kairi because Kairi is my best friend and She gives her a big, strong hug, and Kyrie taps her arm. And by God, they're adorable. So a bit of a trio here, bit of a Pacific Ocean trio. Kai and Sane and Shirai. Next, we have EC3 versus Marcel Barthel. The initial lockup has EC3 really excited to get going. He's pumped. He's on the cusp of a major push here in NXT, I would believe. There's a lot of shoving to start between the both. By the way, I really like Marcel Barthel, Axel Dieter Jr., as he was known in WXW over in Germany. I really like him. And he's had two TV matches. Recently. He's had, and both of them were squash matches tonight with EC3. And his first match, I think, was against, it was against Keith Lee. And in both situations, he was given just enough wiggle room to look good. EC3 has Barthel has him in a headlock. Barthel gets a step up in Zaguri on EC3, legitimate step up in Zaguri, not a Michael Cole step up in Zaguri. EC3 gets stuck between the ropes and he gets a dropkick from Barthel, who works the crowd a little bit, which actually generates some USA chants. And he hits a back to belly pile driver, I guess you'd call that, which looked really cool. And must not have been easy to perform on a big guy like EC3. EC3 battles back with some straight punches, back elbow, a slam, big elbow drop across Barthel's chest, hits the 1%er, and EC3 wins the match. He has a microphone, EC3 does, and he calls out Bobby Fish. He says, "It's not about an eye for an eye. I'm here coming for your head, your knees, and everywhere, everything in between." And I'm like, that sounds kind of sexy. He says, "I'm a little vindictive. I'm the top 1% of this industry. Blee, blah, blah. EC3 is ready to go. And they're cranking up the juice on old EC3. Dominic Dijak gets a hype package. That gets a big thumbs up from me. Don't tell me to behave or not, John. This is my show. I get to talk about what I want. but Dominic Dijak or Dijakovic? Dijakovic? Dijakovic gets his gets a hype package, and I'm completely okay with that. Dominic Dijak is a premium talent. He deserves a lot of push. Then we see Candice LeRae arriving in the building and she's ignoring the interviewers with their iPhones, with their recorders running. She just walks into the building again. "Hey, this change of attitude, is it Nikki Cross pulling this out of you? Does this have something to do with what you and your husband are going through?" And I'm like, ugh. This feud is all over the place now. But look, Candice is getting airtime. Now all she has to do is start racking up wins. That's what we should be doing here. Vanessa Bourne versus Mia Yim is next. I think it's interesting. You know, I know Mia Yim has worked as a babyface. She's worked as a heel. I think most of her more memorable work has been done as a heel, and they're playing her off as a babyface here, where they have, and then they have Candice LeRae, which they seem to be setting up as a heel, where her best work has always been as a babyface. WWE is weird sometimes, man. Yim goes for the sportsmanship shake at first, but Vanessa Bourne openly sneers at this offer and slaps the taste out of Mia Yim's mouth. Well, then, what does a sane, rational person do in this context? Well, you arm drag the hell out of the person who slapped you. That's what you do. Arm drag after arm drag after arm drag, which leads into an arm lock. But Bourne is able to wiggle out of it, and she slams Yim down to the mat using her hair. Yim has some ground, battles back with some ground and pound on Bourne. Bourne gets back in control with some kicks, some punches in the corner. And she, as Mia Yim is down on the corner, in the corner, facing the turnbuckle, Vanessa Bourne rushes her and basically like does a reverse Bronco Buster on her, because, or does a Bronco Buster, but no, it's an inverted Bronco Buster. I don't know if you, how you call it. And he just comes in, and she comes in and she Bronco Busts her, but she wraps her legs around, around Yim and holds that, squeezes her until the ref forces the break. Comes, she has more forearms on Yim, does her spinning suplex, covers, only gets two. Yim counters another slap by Bourne into an arm bar, but she can't cinch it in. Yim instead tarantulas Bourne on the ropes. Some big kicks by Mia Yim, shotgun drop kick that drops Bourne into the corner. She runs in with a corner kick. Soul food! Eat defeat, and that's it. Mia Yim with another win. Looking good. Someone in NXT and someone in WWE likes her. Likes her a lot. We see Tommaso Ciampa backstage with his with his title, which he calls Goldie. Has a name for it. And then he comes after, and then he basically tells the NXT universe that he is ready to that he is ready to make an appearance next week. Make, you know, so we'll know what's next as far as the title goes next week. John says, "Geez, Warren, what the hell is that behind you? It's red. That up there? That's my Halloween costume." Or at least part of it. I was a squid this year. That's a squid hat. That's what that is. This was very, very relevant information to pass on here on the show, folks. So, good old Tommaso. We'll see him next week live in the ring. Main event. We're already here, folks. Lars Sullivan, the biggest free agent in the history of WWE versus Keith Lee. Now, does Lars have a new entrance? Because if he does, boo, thumbs down from your boy Warren. I always thought and still think that Lars has one of the top five best entrances in WWE right now. And it's so simple. It's all about camera angles and light positioning. And tonight he comes down and they have like smoke effects. They have like smoke cannons going and didn't do the silhouette thing. I was very disappointed. Very disappointed. And then I'm wondering, well, maybe this is going to be his transitional entrance to when he gets to main roster. I don't know. I hope it was just a one-time thing because they weren't at Full Sail. I hope it's something like that. Keith Lee is in the ring. So this is basically your big meaty meat man slappity slap slap fest. And we get a shoving match to start, some shoulder blocks as well. Nobody moves though. Basically two opposing forces colliding with each other. Nothing moves. The immovable object against the, what is it? The immovable object against, I'm drawing a blank. The immovable object against the impossible force, something like that. Some shoulder blocks. They eventually start bouncing off each other and into the ropes. And Keith Lee tries to leapfrog Lars, but Lars catches him and drives him into the corner. Lee battles back with them with some straight lefts. Lee runs the ropes, but gets taken down by Lars with double forearms. Lee battles back with a cross body on Lars, takes him down, covers him, and barely gets one. That's how meaty meat men do it. Sullivan interrupts a diving Keith Lee with a kick. Mars drives him into the corner again. He scoops up Keith Lee and drops him, and he goes for a cover, and he only gets one as well. Meat man can't cover the meat man. Sliding basement clothesline by Yabori Lars, followed by the diving headbutt. And it still boggles my mind that Lars Sullivan is doing diving headbutts. I wish he stopped. And I will be very, very, very intrigued to see when he ends up on main roster very, very soon. SmackDown is my prediction. I will be very curious to see if main roster will let him do the diving headbutts. I am completely, completely, unequivocally against the diving headbutt. No one should do that move. John, you say he's on Raw? He's going to Raw? I think he's going to SmackDown. I think he's going to SmackDown. If we just cut in very quickly here, let's speculate about where Lars is going to end up then. I think it's going to be SmackDown because SmackDown has a void of really huge destructive guys. You know, you already have Braun over on Raw. You have Bobby Lashley, who's a huge dude as well. You have Drew, who's another big, big guy, and whose gimmicks are all about being strong and powerful, and you can't take them down. There's a void in that type of character that main roster likes so much over on SmackDown. Yeah, and Baron is, well, you know, Baron's not a small guy either. Baron Corbin, you're right. You know, I there's a void in SmackDown in that department. You know, the Bludgeon Brothers aren't there. Big Show was there, but who knows what they're doing with Big Show anymore. He just turned face again a month after returning as a heel. He's back being a face now. So I really think he's going to end up on SmackDown. That would be my number one guess. All right, so we were talking about the stupid diving headbutt. And he covers Lee, but only for two. Lars then gets Keith Lee in a chin lock. Lee eats a forearm. He tries to battle out of the chin lock, but he can't. Lars instead avalanches him in the corner. Lee leaps over a charging Lars, who tries to avalanche him again, and Lars hits the post hard. Lars comes back with some straight punches. Diving crossbody by Lee over the top rope on Lars, covers him and only gets two. Big double chops by Lee. That's what you want when in a Keith Lee match. You want to hear people's chests be lit on fire. You want to hear the slaps of doom. That's what you want from a Keith Lee match. Well, we got it here, boys and girls. Lars then battles back with some forearm strikes. They both run the ropes, and Lee shoulder blocks your boy Lars to the outside. And Keith Lee runs the ropes and does a spinning body dive to the floor on Lars. What the hell? What the hell? That was so cool. He quickly gets Lars back into the ring, covers him, but only gets two. He heads up to the top rope for his moonsault, his patented Keith Lee moonsault. But Lars rolls out of the way, gets back up, lifts Keith Lee into the freak accident and hits it. Covers Keith Lee for the win. The clean, unadulterated win. Well, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I don't know why I was a no. I do know why. I'm a little perplexed at the booking, but then again, it kind of makes sense. I was under the impression that this would be Lars's, maybe his last match in NXT. And, you know, as tradition goes, it's your last match. Well, you put a guy over, right? That's usually the thing. So I thought, I came into this match, because I always go in spoiler free, right, guys? I don't read the spoilers. I stay as far away as possible from them. And I didn't know what the result was going to be here. I was fully expecting this match for Keith Lee to get the win. That would end Lars's send off. Thank you, friend. We'll see you over on SmackDown. But no. So yeah, just like John said, we got to make Lars looking strong. I guess this is what this was. You know, since he's the biggest free agent in the history of WWE. It was weird. I thought, but it also kind of makes sense. I just really thought that it's just because I was expecting something else. Are we done with Keith Lee and Lars Sullivan? I think they could go for one last match. I'd go for another one. Let them go really all out. Kind of felt that they were holding back a little bit here. That's why I'm thinking maybe we're not quite done. I don't think they were giving their maximum here. It was a bit of a different, a slower pace. Cool ending though. Love the final third of this match. But it was okay. You know, good match, solid, well executed. But definitely my favorite match this evening was the opener, the tag teams, Lorcan and Birch and the Mighty. Whoo, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I'll be interested to. I'm really wondering what the plan is with Lars, if they're going to keep him around for a little bit. Maybe there'll be some overlap as far as the tapings go and his main roster debut. I don't know. Or maybe this is his send off match. And they're sending him off with a victory to make him look strong. But then again, you can also argue that a lot of main roster folks don't watch Raw, not Raw, but NXT. So I don't know what they have in mind. So there you have it. That is our 205 Live NXT recap show for this evening, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for tuning in. Remember, WWE is giving us two episodes of NXT UK again this week. So I will be doing an NXT UK show recap just for you wonderful FightfulSelect.com members this Saturday. Thank you. Thank you so much, members, subscribers. Your support for Fightful means a lot. We are definitely appreciative, and we hope you continue to subscribe and stick around for the ride. Lots of cool stuff coming up for Fightful Select. So you feel free to follow me on social media if you dare. Over on Twitter at Mr. Warren Hayes, or on my own YouTube channel at youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, everyone, and I'll see you next time.